you to listen to what Jesus is saying. Beginning at verse 12, John chapter 8, it says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Watch this. "The Pharisees therefore said unto him," they heard him, "Thou bearest record of thyself, but thy record is not true." Jesus answered and said unto them, "Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know where I came and where I go. But you cannot tell where I come and where I go. You judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true." Watch how many times he uses the word true, true, true. He says, "For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me." Then said they unto him, "Where is thy Father?" Jesus answered, "You neither know me nor my Father. For had you known me, you should have known my Father also." These words spake Jesus in the treasury, and as he taught them in the temple, and no man laid hand on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus to them again, "I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins." Listen to this, you're going to die in your sins. Where, he said, you shall die in your sins. "Whether I go, you cannot come." Then said the Jews to him, "Will he kill himself? Because he says, whether I go, you cannot come." And he said unto them, "You are from beneath." I'm trying to get you to understand something. "You are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I'm not of this world. I said, therefore, unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins." Then they said unto him, "Who art thou?" And Jesus said unto them, "Even the same that I said to you from the beginning." You ain't listening. "I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him." They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I always do the things that please him." Verse 30, it says this, "As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." Watch verse 32. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Go back to the slide. Let's have our declaration of transformation, if you would, gentlemen. Can you pull that back up? I want to talk to you from the thought of no longer. No longer. Look at your neighbor and say, no longer. No longer. How to break free from the bondage of sin that keeps us from doing the things that God has called us to do. The one thing I found out as I pastor is that we all have things that we struggle with. I know we come in and we smile and everybody look good and nice and neat. But truth be told, if you delve a little deeper, behind all that superficial Holy Ghost anointing, shouting, running up and down the aisles, we all have some stuff that we're struggling with. Things that are hindering us from doing what God has called us to do. I can tell you from my experience, when I was growing up, I wasn't always in the church. I was in the church, but I wasn't always in the church. I know some of y'all ain't never been outside the church, but when I was growing up, I wasn't always in the church. And I was kind of out there in the world. And I kind of did some stuff. That wasn't like a lot of the stuff that y'all do. You know, some of y'all are really off the chain. Mine wasn't quite off the chain like some of y'all. But it was bad enough. Some of y'all say, well, Pastor, what do? The truth is, it's none of your business. But the bottom line is, I did my dirt. And I did a lot of stuff that I'm not happy about. I did some things that hurt some people. I got involved in some stuff I should have never been involved in. I got involved in some relationships that I should have never been involved in. And I hurt some people. And I'm going to be honest, I struggled with that, those things that I did for many years. And they kept me from wanting to serve in ministry. Anybody ever been like that before? Amen. I mean, I used to struggle with, how can someone that did all the stuff that you did now come into church and want to serve? I mean, I was in the church, so I knew better. I was in the church, I was serving, and yet I was out doing some stuff that I should have never did, and I hurt people, and I struggled with, how could God use somebody who knew better, but yet was still out doing their thing and having their fun? And I struggled with, how could God love somebody like that? And I know that I'm not alone. I know y'all looking at me with that holy sanctified look on your face. But I know that I'm not alone. I know that there's some of you in here got some stuff in your past that you're not happy about. There's some relationships, some stuff that you was in, and it's keeping you bound. That stuff it'll trap you. It'll stop you from doing the things that God wants you to do in your life. Sometimes it has nothing to do with your past. It's things that's going on in your present. Some of us are bound to fear. And that amens went down. Some of us are bound to alcohol. Some of us bound to smoking. Some of us bound to the reefers. Reefers. The reefers. Reefers. Reefers, the joints, marijuanas. Y'all might as well go ahead and tell the truth, because the truth of the matter is, if you delve a little deep, we all got stuff that we're struggling with. It don't matter who you is. And if you're not careful, that stuff will keep you bound, and it'll stop you from doing what God has you to do. My message today is to encourage you that you can be free. Look at your neighbor and say, no longer. No longer are those things to hold you bound. That's where I'm headed. No longer. See, I found out some stuff that set me free from that. And that's really what I want to share with you today. Now, if you got your Bibles open to John chapter 8, let me give you a little background on what's going on. Jesus has just dealt with these folk, religious leaders. Y'all know the Christians sometimes, it's the real sanctimonious ones, boy, that want to judge everybody. You know, I found that sometime in the church, the real holy, the ones that's so super holy are the ones that's so full with anger and so full of rage. And if you read the Bible in John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11, Jesus has been dealing with these people who caught this woman in adultery. And they were so full of anger and rage, they wanted to stone her dead. And the real question is how did you catch her in the very act of adultery? I mean, either you thought she was fine and you was following her, or how did you catch somebody in the very... Either you consumed with it or like, why are you following her? Like, what's going on? And so they were so full of anger that they wanted to stone the woman dead. Jesus dealt with that situation. And then in verse 12, the Bible says that Jesus tries to set them free. If you look at it, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me does not have to walk in. In other words, you don't have to be controlled by darkness. I'm trying to help you get free. The problem was that the people didn't believe in him. You go to the next verse, they say that they didn't believe anything what Jesus was saying. So as you go through the text, the next 16 or so verses, Jesus is spending all his time to try to convince them of who he is and his credentials to actually set them free. Watch this. And when you get to verse 29, look in your Bibles. When you get to verse 29, the Bible says that something very interesting happens. It says that in the course of Jesus teaching all of the people and in the course of them having this dialogue going back and forth, it said that many believed on him. There were some who didn't believe on him, but in the course of all this going on, many believed on him. And then in verse 31, it says that Jesus does something extraordinary. Verse 31, do you see it? It says that he stopped arguing with everybody else. And it says, then he turned to them that believed on him. He stopped arguing with everybody else saying, I'm trying to convince you. And he turns to those who actually believed on him. Now, how many of you believe on Jesus in here today? You believe that he's the Son of God. You believe that he came and he died for your sins. You believe that he holds all power and authority in his hand, that everything bows down and answers to him, right? You believe that. Well, then Jesus is speaking the very same words to you. And I want you to notice what he says. He says to those who believe on him, if, somebody say if. That means that it's conditional. He says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples in, and you will what? And you will know the truth and the, will what? All right, now, in that text, in those two verses, Jesus tells us four things about how to be free. All right, listen, there are some of you who are bound. Jesus is going to teach you how to get free. Four things. The first thing is he tells you what makes you free. When you look in there, he says that the truth shall what? In other words, if you want to get free from something that has you bound, you need. Now, notice what it says. He didn't say that the truth can make you free. He didn't say that it's possible that the truth will make you free. He says, if you have the truth shall make you free. And notice that he didn't qualify the free. He didn't say that the truth shall make you free from religious folk. He didn't say that the truth shall make you free from one particular thing. He says that the truth will make you free in general, across the board. It doesn't matter what it is. The truth shall make you free. Look at your neighbor and say, the truth shall make you free. Watch this. The question then becomes, watch, if the truth makes me free, well, then what is the truth that he's talking about? Right? If you're saying the truth makes me free, well, what truth are you talking about? Because how many know truth is relative? Anybody ever heard that? You have your truth. I have my truth. So then it becomes, how do we determine what truth is? Well, I'm so glad that Jesus didn't leave that to our own interpretation, because the same Jesus who said the truth shall make you free defines what the truth is. In John 14 and 6, he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the old man coming to the but by, watch this. So he defines, he says, I am the way. I'm not a way. I am the way to the Father. But then he also goes and says, I am the truth. Notice what he said. He says, I'm not saying that what I say is just the truth. He says that I am the truth. In other words, I am the source of all truth. If you're trying to look and define truth, you need to look at me, right? So he says that I am the person that sets you free. In fact, if you read a few verses, it says, whom the Son sets free is free in, right? So the Bible says that Jesus says that I am the truth, but the question should be then, well, Jesus is no longer here, right? He's dead, buried, raised from the dead. He's in heaven. So what then are we supposed to use as truth? The same Jesus defined that too in John 17:17. He says, sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is, do you see that? He says, watch this, that the book that you have in your hand contains the word of God, and that word is truth. Watch this. So if you do a little transposition, so in other words, where he says the truth shall set you free, what he's really saying is the word of God that you have in your hand will set you free from whatever it is that has you bound. Watch this. So if you're trying to get free from whatever it is, you need what's in that book. Do you understand? The word of God is what sets you free. Now, if the word of God is what sets you free, what do you think would be the number one goal of the enemy? Wait a minute now. Think about that. If the word of God, if that's the truth and it sets you free, what's the main thing if you're the enemy of God that you would want to prevent people from doing? Do you understand? Anybody ever had, you know, the devil doesn't care if you watch preachers on television. He don't care if you even come to church. But have you ever experienced that the moment you start picking up that Bible to read it? It just seems like you're in a warfare. I mean, when you pick it up, anybody just ever get sleepy? It don't matter if it's in the morning, if it's at night. When you pick it up, have you ever noticed that thoughts just keep coming to your mind about chicken and wherever you talking about, you weren't even thinking about that? Listen, why is it that the enemy does not want us to get in that word? Watch, because that's where the freedom is. Whatever it is you're trying to get free from, you need truth. Look, think about it. From the very beginning, the first record we have of Satan ever speaking or dealing with humanity, what is the first thing that he attacked? Think about that now. Do you remember in Genesis chapter 3 when the serpent came? He didn't say nothing about the condition of the garden. He didn't say anything about fruit. He didn't say anything about anything else. The very first thing he attacked was, hath God said? Why? Because he knew as long as Eve was operating in the truth of what God said, she would be free. You understand? So he had to try to deceive her in order to believe something that God had not said, because the moment you start believing something that's not the truth, you get bound. If the truth sets you free, then falsehood puts you in what? Watch this. Listen, and some of us, the reason why you're not free is because you've began to believe a lie. Watch this. And when you start believing a lie, you come under the power of the lie. Man, I remember I was at a meeting with my wife, and we were in the meeting, and, you know, we greeting people and doing a whole bunch of stuff, and I saw her across the room, and I'm sitting up over here talking to some folk, but I always got my eye on my wife. You all understand? Anything that's important to you, I always got my eye on. I'm sitting up over here talking to you, but out the corner of my eye, I'm watching. Because I know everybody in the church ain't in the church. You know, I ain't in the church. So I'm sitting up over here talking, and I'm watching, and I see her up over there talking to this guy. You know, he looked all right. He wasn't the fraud-looking little joker. He looked all right. He looked like he had his little, you know, had his hair cut and everything. He was dressed, you know, all right or whatever it was. You know, he wasn't quite on my level, but he was doing whatever he was doing. And so I'm sitting here talking, and I'm noticing out the corner of my eye that he came up and gave my wife a hug. And I ain't talking about just no hug. He hugged her. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I'm looking at him, and I'm like trying to judge the space evaluation. And I'm like, It's supposed to be a little room in there. And he came up and he gave her a hug. Like, it didn't agree with me, right? So I'm sitting up over there watching, right? And then he gives it a hug, and like when they backed up, it was like he was still close. You know, you give people a hug and then you back up. He backed up and was like, you know, hey, and such and such. And they all talking, and she all friendly with him. And, you know, I'm thinking, and she friendly with him. Listen, let me, I got to move on. And so I'm seeing all this stuff happen at the side of my eye. And you know, I'm trying to get free to get up over there and find out what's really going on. But, you know, it's always something when you're trying to do that. The person, they just want to talk and they, you know, and wait, one more thing. And I'm trying to get up over there. And so before I could get up over there, he had left. Right? But how many of you know it went over? Oh, no, it went over. Watch this. Because the whole time, the rest of the whole meeting, I'm getting angrier and angrier and angrier. And we leaving, and we get in the car riding home, and she trying to talk. I ain't got nothing to say. I'm getting angrier, and I'm getting angrier because I know when we get home, it's about to come off popping. And we get home, and we get in the house, and she's still trying to talk, and I'm giving them short answers. Yeah, uh-huh, yep, yeah, right. We get home. I'm like, get in this room right here. I need to talk to you. She's talking about, what is it, honey? What? I said, get in this room right now. She's talking about. And I get in the room, I'm like, I jumped on. I said, who the heck was that joker you was all up kissing up on and all this type of junk? And you all up in his face, and you know there's supposed to be distance and all this type of stuff. Why are you smiling all in his face? What's going on? Like, what's the real deal? What's going on? And then she starts smiling. And I say, oh, what? She starts smiling. I say, so you ain't denying it? Oh, really set me off. Watch this. This stuff is bounding up in me. I'm getting angry and angry. And she say, honey, calm down. Connie, calm down. I say, baby, all this, because she said, calm down. That's my cousin, Jabron. Now, you know I'm looking at like, no, that ain't. That ain't your cousin. She said, no, it's my cousin. She went and put him up on Facebook. I see all her family on the pictures. I say, oh. Now, here's the thing. The first thing I felt was a release. You know why? Because I had believed a lie. And that lie was controlling me, right? But it's something about the truth that sets you free, but you got to have truth. Now, I had to try to find a way to work out of it. I was just trying to see, you know, I was just trying to work it out, and, you know, I was just trying to figure out what it was. But the truth of it is, you need truth in order to get free. Watch this, which leads to the second thing that Jesus teaches in the text. Watch this. He says the first thing that makes you free is the truth, but then what do you do with the truth? Watch this. The second thing he teaches in there, he says that the truth makes you free, but only the truth that you know. Do you see what he says? He says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Watch this. So it's not necessarily just the truth that sets you free. It's the truth that you know that sets you free. Watch this. You know, there are things that God has done for us, but if you don't know it, it does you no good. I read in history one time that Abraham Lincoln set all the slaves free by the Emancipation Proclamation of 1863. Right? But I read that slaves in Texas didn't know about it for another 2 years. Watch this. They were free when he signed it. But they didn't know about it for another 2 years to when some Union soldiers came in and declared to them, why are y'all still doing that? Don't you know that you are free? And then once they became and got the knowledge of that on June 19th, 1865, that's when they celebrate Juneteenth, right? Watch this. But here's the thing. If you don't know that you're free, how do you get free? Watch this. And there are things that God has done for you. See, some of us have begun to believe a lie. I have spoken to so many of you who say, Pastor, I can't stop this. I can't stop smoking. I can't stop the reefers. It calls me. Y'all need to go ahead and just tell the truth. Just go ahead and tell the truth. I can't stop excessive drinking. I can't stop it. I can't stop sleeping around. It calls me, Pastor. I just gotta have it. I gotta have it. Listen, and the truth of the matter is you have began to believe a lie, because that's not what the Word of God says, which is the truth that sets you free. Amen. Why do I say that? Because Romans 6 says this. Watch this. You read it with me. It says, knowing this, that our old man, the old nature, was crucified with him, that the what? The body of sin might be done away with, and that we should know. Wait a minute now. I don't know if you got that, but the truth, listen, you can believe whatever it is you want to believe. You can believe what your friends say. You can believe what your feelings say. You can believe whatever you want. But remember, what sets you free is truth. And the Bible says that the truth is the Word of God. And regardless of what you feel, regardless of what it looks like, he says that you are no longer a slave to sin. Y'all not hearing me? He says, in other words, listen, the reality of the temptation is still there, but it doesn't mean that you have to do it. Because you're not a slave to it. A slave is someone who has to do the will of the master. Go to the next verse. Verse 14 says, for sin shall not have what? I hope that gets in somebody's spirit. Sin does not have authority to rule you. Listen. It can call you, it can tempt you, it can lure you, but you still have to say yes. That's the truth. How do I know that? Watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says this. Look at it. It says, for though, no, that's not the one I want. What did I say? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Man, get my audio vision. Okay, let me just go ahead. Y'all get that right. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 13 says this, for there has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. You hear that? He says, whatever temptation is coming to you, you're not unique. The same temptation applies to everybody. No temptation has come to you except such as common unto man, but God is faithful. Watch this. It says, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able. I wish they had it up on the board, because some of y'all looking at me like you don't believe what I'm saying. He says, but God is faithful, and that he will not, somebody say, he will not.
He will not.
He will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, and it says, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you should be able to. Watch this. Notice what it says. He didn't say that he was going to take away the temptation. He says, but I will make a way of escape. So that means he ain't going to take away the desire to go have sex. Boy, everybody, people won't even look at you. Boy, I must be hit. He know you want it. He ain't going to make you leave her house at 11 o'clock at night, but he'll make a way of escape for you to get out of there if you want to.
Amen. Amen.
He ain't going to make you put the cigarette down, but the cigarette doesn't have the authority to force you to do it. You choose. Listen, hear what I'm saying. I'm not saying that the reality of what you're feeling and sensing is not true, because of course that's true. But God says that I give you the power. The truth of the matter is you decide whether or not you do it. The problem is most of us don't know what the Word of God says. Watch this. And you want to know the reason why you don't know? It's because you don't read. Boy, I ain't getting no amens now. Somebody saying, you need to go ahead and close, Pastor. It's because you don't read. Go ahead and tell the truth. How many of y'all got a set time that you read your Bible in the morning and you read? Don't even raise your hand because don't lie in church. Just make sure. Listen, you can't know something if you don't spend no time with it. Where's the encouragement? See, if you're trying to get free, what sets you free is the Word of God, but it only sets you free if you know it. How do you know it? You got to read it. Y'all know the old adage, if you want to keep something from the black man. You know, I always wonder where that came from. I wonder if Satan said, man, you know what? I know how to get them jokers right there. Put it in a book and they ain't going to read it. He says, you know by reading. First, you got to read. Number two, you got to study the Word of God. Not just read it, you got to study it. How many know that you can read something, but if you don't understand it, it don't make no difference? You can, listen, I know some of y'all, we talked about it in the first hour this morning. I know some of y'all read the Bible, but you have no idea what you're reading. Watch this. And if you don't understand it, it does you no good. My wife works for Facebook, right? She comes into me all super excited every time they do something, telling me about all this stuff that they do. Oh, honey, guess what you can do now? And guess what this is? And she uses all these acronyms. I'm like I work for them or something. And she uses all this stuff. And at some point, I have to say, baby, just stop. What does that mean? What is this? Because without understanding, all the benefits don't do you any good. Watch this. Can I tell you something? The reason why some people don't understand the Bible when they read is because you don't invest in any materials to help you do it. Boy, I know I ain't going to get no amen. That means I'm hitting it right there. You don't invest. Listen, anything that you want to learn, you invest in. How many of y'all got CDs and DVDs? I know they kind of old. Okay. How many of you got pots and pans at your house? Boy, y'all in church, people like, I ain't got no pots. You need to stop. How many of you got forks and spoons in your house that help you eat? Right? You invest in things that help you, right? Question, how many of you have a Bible concordance? How many of you have a Bible dictionary? How many of you have invested in Bible commentaries? How many of you know what any of those things are? Here's the thing. The point that I'm making is you invest in the things that are important to you. And sometimes the reason why you don't understand something is because you refuse to invest in the things to help you understand. So if you're going to understand the Bible, you need to get a commentary from people who have studied the Bible all their life and can help you understand some different parts of it, right? You got to read, you got to study the Bible, and you got to learn to memorize the Bible. Can I tell you from experience? You reading it, and even if you understand it, does you no good if when you're in a temptation, you can't think of it. I know God said I wasn't supposed to do something up in here, but I don't know what it was. I know I'm not supposed to slap this person after what they just said, but I can't think of it, so maybe the devil is right. Maybe I should go ahead and do it. The Word of God, listen, has to be implanted in the heart. Not only do you read it, not only do you study it, but you have to memorize it to get it in you. See, some of y'all looking at me and say, Pastor, I'm too old to memorize stuff. My mind, I can't remember stuff no more. But you'd be surprised at what you remember. If I was to do the President Barack and say, I'm so in love with you. Whatever you wanna do. How does it go? There it is. There it is. There it is. Don't say you can't remember. Don't say you can't remember. Listen, you remember a lot of stuff. I gotta close. You remember a lot of stuff. Y'all know that's the truth. If I said, she's your queen to be. Look at that. Y'all need to stop. Don't say what you can't remember. Listen, now here's the thing. I'm sorry, but my time is going. But here's the thing. All that's a plan of the enemy. Because listen, none of that can set you free. Here's the question. How many of you know what Proverbs 3 and 5 is? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your... How many of you know what Psalm 23 is? The Lord is my... Now, hold on, wait a minute. Now, when I say, do you know it, I don't mean like you know the first part, then you mess up all in the middle. Y'all know that's the truth. Do you know Romans 3:23, Romans 3:10? Do you know Romans 10:9? Do you know John 3:16? Things that actually transform. Listen, we use our mind for many things. Stop saying that you can't memorize stuff. The question is, you're choosing to fill your mind full of stuff that has no power to set you free. Okay, listen, I got to close. So, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but the second thing that he says that we need to get free is, he said you need to be discipled. Do you see that? He said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciple indeed. Let me just say this real quick so I can move on and close. Jesus was never interested in making converts. He always was interested in making disciples. Listen, what's the difference? The difference is a convert is someone who has made the decision to follow Christ. That's great, but that's just the first step. The thing what you need is after you decide to follow Jesus, you got to be discipled. You got to learn from someone else who may have a little more experience or someone else who has a different spiritual gift than you that can help you along your journey. Listen, and that's the problem why so many of us in here are not free. It's because you don't want to get with nobody else to help you grow. You trying to break free from stuff all on your own, and you don't have all the answers. When you look at Jesus, the first thing Jesus did when he started public ministry was he started a small group. You know, we got small groups. I don't even know how many small groups we got now. But we got small groups designed for believers to get together to help work through stuff that you're struggling in. And for some reason, people don't want to get together and be honest about what they're going through. Why'd he do that, Ty? Listen, can I tell you something? I know I got to close, but for the sake of discussion, small groups are so important because it allows you to get free. Listen, don't listen to me. Read the book of James. He says, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. Listen, some of us ain't getting healed because you ain't confessing or talking to nobody about what's going on in your life. Man, that's one of the things that bothers me sometimes about church folk, particularly some of y'all older ones, with that judgmental spirit with some of these young people. Boy, I ain't going to have no friends after today, John. Y'all know the older you get, you lose patience with some of these young people. When the truth of the matter is, you should be using your life experiences to help them go through what they're going through. Amen. Man, y'all know y'all need to stop. Some of y'all won pure. You shouldn't even been wearing a white dress on your wedding day. But yet you condemn that young woman who walks in here with a baby in her hands as though she's so bad and you so good. You know you need to stop. Y'all get mad at these young men in here with the pants hanging down and they got their earphones on and their hats on and all this type of stuff. But if I got in your car, I would hear a little Tupac or something up in there too. Man, I ain't getting no amen. Baby, can you say amen for me? Say amen for me, because I ain't getting no amen. And then we wonder why these young people don't want to come in church. Some of them die rolled in your car. Particularly your kids. Okay, I got to go. Okay, so discipleship, you got to be disciple. And then the last one, he says, in order to be free, you got to stand in and on my word. Do you see where it says, if you continue in my word? Continue. That word means abide. It means you have to remain. It means you have to stand fast. It's something that you have to continuously do. You have to stand on the word of God regardless of how you feel, regardless of the way how it looks, regardless about what everybody else is saying. Whatever God says about you, that's it. Why? Now, I close. Watch this. Why is Jesus saying it? I'm saying it, and I promise I'm going to close with it. Why is Jesus saying you got to continue in it? You got to continue in it. Listen, because he knows that when you leave this place, some of us, even right now, before you get out this place, the enemy is already coming to tell you that everything that that preacher just said and everything that the word of God says is not true. I'm young. I'm 18. I'm supposed to be. They say I ain't got no rhythm. I know I can break it down. I got rhythm. Hear what I'm saying? Listen, the enemy, I promise you, when you try to get free, he's going to bring up your past again. He's going to bring up what that man said to you when you were dating him about you are the ugliest thing in the world. He's going to bring it up again. He's going to bring up what your mama said, your daddy said, what everybody says. Why? Listen, because he knows the principle in Proverbs 23:7 that says, as a man thinketh in his heart. Watch this. So if I can get you thinking that you can't quit, you can't quit. If I can get you thinking that you can't say no, then you believe that I can't say no. And so it's a mind game. Listen, I'll close with this. Take me to that last scripture. Here's what I want you to remember as you leave. That's not, now we go to where you were, 2 Corinthians 10:3. There we go. I want you to remember this as you leave. Read this with me. For though we walk. Okay, so though you walk in a fleshly body, your enemy, your war is not really flesh. We know this, right? It's not really flesh and blood, right? We're not fighting a fleshly enemy. I know some of y'all think y'all got a good set, and I've had to try to test a few of y'all that if you run up on me, I'm going to put some of these dum-dums on you. Don't let it fool you now. I'm going to put a little. And if I can't beat you, I got my main man right here who got my back, who going to handle the thing. I pull John into everything. John be like, why you keep using my name? I pull him into everything. Listen, what does the scripture say? Watch this. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not, they're not fleshly. He says, but they are mighty in to do what? Strongholds are thoughts and imaginations that exalt themselves against God. The enemy comes and he programs our mind with things of what you can and what you can't do. Listen, and you can't tear them down. You need something. You need truth in order to get free from them. Go to the next one. So what does he tell us to do? He says, casting. Wait. What does he say you got to do? Other translation says, casting down thoughts. Why am I saying this? Because I can promise you when you leave, the devil is going to bring thoughts to your mind. Anybody ever had that happen before? He's going to tell you that you're nothing or you can't do anything without that man or whatever it is. He's going to bring thoughts. And what he says is you have to cast them down. Amen. Listen, Jesus can do everything for us, and he already had, but there's still some things you and I have to do. When that temptation comes to take that puff, to take that cigarette, to take that alcohol, to take that reefer, to go sleep with whoever it is, you have to cast that thought down. He says, and every high thing that exalts itself against what? The knowledge of God. In other words, what God has said, God knows some things. And the enemy wants to exalt itself higher than what God has said. Listen, he says you have to bring every into cap to the obedience of Christ. Watch this. I really got to close. I'm over my time. What is he saying? He's saying whenever God said something, you have to take whatever you see, whatever you experience, and whatever you feel, and bring it under the submission of what God has said. I know it doesn't seem like that. I know it doesn't seem like, you know, that's the way how it works. But he says, my word is truth. And if you hang on and stand continually in what I said, you will be free. See, the problem with some of us is you on both sides. I believe God in this, but I can't believe him in this. I believe him in praising and giving him shouts, but I can't believe him in sexual purity. But amen went down. I believe him in coming to church, but I don't believe him in tithing. Boy, somebody say, you better go ahead and end, Pastor. I got to close. He says, we got to stand on his word.